Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, we'll do our best to have a concise conversation. Always dicey doing a informational update on something that changes as quickly as a coaching situation. But if you've been listening to the Nolcast past, gosh, I think we first talked about this, I don't know, 5 weeks ago. It's been a while, but the Texas A&M kind of wave has only approached continuously and become a larger and larger issue. And at this point, it appears to either be about to crest or just kind of pass on by. So I think we'll have an answer in the next 48, 72 hours, but we'll spend this time tonight, Bud, talking about kind of where things sit and maybe some of the more complicated issues that lie within a potential move, both for Florida State and for Jimbo Fisher. So, as always,
Ingram, are you implying that things are heating up, much like Louisiana hot sauce?
I'm implying that big wave of hot sauce is about to either just kind of roll on by or otherwise start to see the wave start to crash. Find out how it all plays out.
This is like when you're not just sprinkling hot sauce on. This is like when you're trying to make wing sauce and you pry the cap off there, right? And you just pour it in. That's kind of what's going on right now. I have real doubts that this thing actually goes to Sunday, December 3rd.
No, I don't think it can. I really don't think it can. I think that might have been the ideas and the hopes of some involved. But at this point, it's no more real time that this can play out. Both parties kind of need to know what's going on. And I think I mentioned this to you in a 1v1 conversation last night. I think this situation has to kind of resolve itself in the next 72 hours or so.
I think Florida State's going to want an answer. And I think to be honest, Texas A&M's going to want an answer as well. Right now, maybe not a public announcement from blah, 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 but I think the power players at the schools are going to know before Sunday, which means eventually we'll know as well. Yeah, our faithful sponsor, Louisiana Hot Sauce, three simple ingredients, one great product, as well as Florida Table Restaurant Group, that's Madison Social, Centrale Township, Matzo Catering, and then also Sodo, their new excellent bakery there in Midtown. So be sure to support all our sponsors, and very much thankful as well for all of our new 5-star iTunes reviews. You see the latest count on that?
I haven't. I noticed when we went north of 1,000, and honestly haven't checked that again. We are also a top 100 podcast for a significant period of time. Now that's a metric that fluctuates a lot, and there's a whole lot of things that are complicated with that, but that's always a cool thing to be, and to think that this humble podcast is one of the more 100 listened to sports podcasts in all the world is that's pretty awesome. So thank you to everybody for listens and reviews and the feedback that you've provided.
Man, Ingram, since our last show or since our last time we talked about reviews, 7 new 5-star written reviews and like 10 new 5-star clicks. So Nick Saban doesn't have anything on us. And he also didn't have anything on Auburn. That's a good transition, man. I did not plan well that. This is one of the reasons why we kind of didn't, not going to say didn't believe the Texas A&M thing, but when we had these Texas A&M people telling us that it was done, my real thought was, if Auburn comes open, and a lot of agents think that it's going to come open if Auburn loses and that Gus would go take Arkansas, and then Jimbo could go to Auburn with a blank check and also have a hand in picking the new AD, then guess what, Aggies? He's not going to pick A&M mm-hmm. over Auburn. So I think that was both yours and my real thought on that for a while. But Auburn beat Alabama by 2 scores, and I think most people now expect the Tigers to give him give Malzahn a contract extension, which means he's not going to leave, which means that offer is no longer on the table. And unless Jimbo Fisher has any interest in jumping into the complete dumpster fire that is Knoxville right now, which I know we could talk a little bit about at the end of the show, it looks like A&M is the only real option for him to for his annual flirtation.
So there's two things that we'll circle back to, both the annual flirtation and even a less amount of time on what Knoxville is and how if you were all about the money, somebody could make a field day with what's gone in Knoxville right now. So a little bit of a content reminder or a tease. Let's jump into, we don't know the exact details of A&M's offer, but we've got a pretty good idea as to what Jimbo Fisher will ultimately have to mull over and decide upon.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who you trust out there. The people that came to us and said, hey, can you do interviews on December 3rd? They had told us I think it was what, 6 and 50? It's 8.3. Most of these numbers seem to be matching up with that, whether it's 5 and 40 or what have you. It looks like the number is around 8, which would be about a 45% raise annually. Now, granted, Fisher has more long-term security at Florida State, but when you're talking about that much money per year, you can make up that gap very quickly. And if this is a money thing, then look, I don't expect FSU to match A&M's money. And to be frank, they don't have to. That's not really what this program is all about, or nor what it needs to be all about. It doesn't need to overpay for coaches because of all the great inherent resources that it has as a program that A&M doesn't necessarily have. But that's the offer, and you have some Texas newspapers reporting that there's already a handshake deal and that they fully expect it to happen. And look, that very well could be. I know we'll get into what some people inside of a FSU's program think about in a second, but that's just kind of that's what people seem to think the offer is. And I got to tell you, nobody has told me that Fisher has come to Florida State and asked for a raise. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually think he's doing that this year. Now, in previous years, certainly. It would take some serious stones on a year where you're already making $1 million per win.
$1 million per win. Yeah, absolutely.
That's good work if you can get it, man.
That's damn good work. Yeah.
I think there are other things that he wants. And the main thing I think he wants is this football-only facility. And I think he wants it faster than the boosters are really going to give it to him or can give it to him.
Right.
Like from everybody I've talked to, there's a couple things that are becoming clear. One, there are certainly some important power players at the university who are tired of Jimbo's act, right? Like who's it going to be next year?
Right, yeah.
Is saturated
with this whole process, absolutely.
Because it's not just A&M. And it wasn't just LSU and then before that LSU. Who was it the year before? Was it Texas the year before?
It's Texas the year before, but man, this goes back a decade. I mean, this goes back
West Virginia.
To UAB, West Virginia. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wasn't there an Auburn thing in there too?
A song and dance that repeats itself.
Even Alabama, when it became clear Saban was going to be taking the Bama job.
Absolutely. Yeah. You get this about every other year, and recently it's been more of an annual occasion. So
it's like an 80% proposition, man. So my people think that they're going to have this football-only facility in 2020. That's what my sources are telling me, all right, that it's going to happen. It's not a hypothetical or a theoretical thing. They say it is going to happen. They're doing the study on it. It could be that a football-only facility away from the Moore Center is actually about as financially or fiscally doable, and if so, they may elect to do that, or they might elect to build out the Moore Center and move the other sports somewhere else. Is this something Florida State needs? Yes and no. In that, do they need to keep up with the Joneses? Yes, and they know that, and they're going to do that. Absolutely. Do they need, did it cost them any wins on the field this year? Absolutely not. No. Those wins, for the most part, were caused by Jimbo Fisher's really poor mismanagement of his coaching staff over the last 3 years and failing to essentially trim the fat and make important changes because he didn't want to fire his friends. Now, this is something that I think that there is both good and bad from the boosters and from Fisher, right? I tend to side with the boosters on how they've handled it in terms of how they've gone about it for a couple reasons. But look, Jimbo is always going to focus on the short term because even if he stays a while, Jimbo is a short-term thinker when it comes to, and he should be, because football coaches are not going to be here 30 or 40 years, right? At most, how many more years do you think Fisher could be in Tallahassee? 6 or 7, maybe? I don't think he's a guy that's going to be coaching into his 70s. So he wants what's going to help him win right now. The boosters did that in several ways. New player dorms, huge. IPF, indoor practice facility, huge. Renovating the locker rooms, renovating the coaches' offices. The new players' lounge, right? I'm sure I'm forgetting something else. All within the last 5 years. This is where Fisher really angered some people when he talked about the little tweaks, I think he said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On his coach's show, which is just not a smart thing to say. And then he said, that we haven't really done anything since, or anything since I got here. Just false and really, really dumb. The boosters have to think short and long term. So when they did the College Town thing, which I'm told is profitable, and the Champions Club, which I don't know for a fact it's profitable, so I'm not going to go there. Those are longer-term thoughts, right? As Doak becomes more the center of campus, it makes a whole lot of sense to have a revitalized Gaines Street area. That's doing really well. I know a lot of people who actually like the Champions Club a lot. And Tallahassee is a hot place, so it makes some sense to have a little more indoor spots to watch the game. If you're Fisher, though, those things don't help you win games right now. And so I totally understand Jimbo wanting those things right now. Because those next 2 years of his coaching career where he doesn't have his football and facility, 2018 to 2019, he's never going to get back. And look, maybe that's something that he believes he absolutely has to have. And if so, best wishes to Texas A&M. Because they have one. There's a lot of things A&M doesn't have, and I know we'll talk about that in a second. But you can see what, look, the boosters have to think short and long term. Jimbo Fisher only has to think short term. So that's how they both think. He certainly butts heads with them a lot. There's some management things there. There's, you know, should he have more input on what they're spending the money on? Should he know exactly how much money they have to spend? You know, should he have input on who runs the boosters? All these kind of things. I don't know how you resolve all that. But I do know that not having a football-only facility didn't cost him a single win in 2017. Now, that's not the case. Remember back in 2007, the rain game against Clemson, where they had a bunch of those practices rained out when they didn't have the indoor practice facility? Like, that's an actual tangible, you lost a game because you could not practice because you had a bunch of lightning. Well, now they have a great indoor practice facility, right? And it certainly helps. So it's not that FSU doesn't want to do this. It's just going to take a little bit of time for them. They don't have quite as much money as some other programs, and that's something to think about there. And if you're Fisher, maybe that's something you have to consider when you figure out, do you want to stay at Tallahassee or not?
There are some ridiculous inherent strengths to Florida State's programs and what they're able to, like what you look at if you're a potential candidate and how you value certain positions or certain programs. But if you're the guy that, and we've talked about this for forever, on one of the solo podcasts I did during the summer, I specifically mentioned this freestanding football facility that everybody wants, a standalone complex, and then ultimately Florida State will get one. It's just not immediate, and Florida State has all the resources to be competitive, but it doesn't have all the resources to make everything instantaneous. And if that's what you want, then ultimately you're going to end up having a pretty acrimonious relationship with a lot of people around you.
If you were Clemson, would you rather have your beautiful standalone football facility and a Clemson, South Carolina zip code, or a Florida zip code and a slightly delayed standalone facility? Because I think I know which one I would pick.
Absolutely.
You can't move the talent in Florida. You can get a facility. It may take you a little while. If you're Jimbo Fisher and they've told you, Jimbo, we're going to get this built. All right. It's not going to happen immediately. If you're here for the long term, you got to think that should be enough for you. But maybe not. The other thing that I don't know how to factor into this is his kids. He's divorced. I think everybody knows that. Used to be married to Candy Fisher, and now he's not. Would she go to Houston with the kids? We know Jimbo loves his kids. Everybody in that program tells me he loves spending time with his kids when he can. Now, he's real busy. They told me he sleeps in his office sometimes. You know, he puts in super long nights there. I have a hard time believing, based on how much they tell me he loves his kids, that he would go to Texas A&M if they weren't coming with him. We're dealing with humans here, man. It's all contractual.
It's a complicated issue, and it's not something that I love to jump into, but it is the reality of the situation, and it's something that you have to think about, and it's something that that made the potential Auburn opening all the more convenient for every party that could have been involved in that decision because of her proximity to the where she grew up.
Yeah. Right, from Birmingham. So, look, I'm not saying they wouldn't go to Houston or to Texas A&M, which is, you know, obviously kind of like an hour from Houston. That's an issue in this, I think, that they've, you know, I don't have their custody agreement, obviously. I believe Jimbo Fisher really does love his kids and loves spending time with them. And I think that if he's going to leave, that's going to be a part of it. That's really kind of all I can expound on that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we'd be kind of fools not to mention that because that's, you know, he's a guy that loves the kids and hey, I think all parents out there do. And you don't want to move away from him. You want him to come with you. Now, today, after Jimbo Fisher's press conference in which he was asked four different times about the job offer and the job. And he just repeatedly said, you guys know I don't talk about jobs. I don't talk about jobs. I'm not going to talk about that. I don't talk about jobs. And then I got to give credit to Andrew Miller here of Telemach Nation. And I said, hey, ask him something about recruiting, you know? And Andrew said, do you think your refusal to deny interest in the, or, you know, or to shoot down these rumors hurts recruiting? And Fisher's face, man, did you watch this or did you just listen to it?
Haven't seen it, no.
Woo, did he look pissed? He was like, no. And then he had a little pause, and then he goes like, we've recruited well every year I've been here, haven't we? Which inherent in that is kind of implying like,
right.
Yeah. Every year I take the same approach and I let these rumors fester and cause problems.
Me doing this never cost us before. The simple answer is one, really good question. Two, I mean, I've had people involved with the process tell me that this is not, particularly the past 2 years, necessarily the easiest thing to deal on the recruiting trail. Again, it's not be all end all, but it doesn't do anybody any favors. And for a guy that loves to preach eliminate the distractions, this, you know, causes a whole lot of distractions in different aspects of your program, and recruiting is certainly one that feels this the impact of this kind of annual song and dance.
Exactly right. Additionally, you know who else feels the impact of this annual song and dance? Your players and your coaches. Mm-hmm. And today we talk to players and to coaches and parents. And I got to tell you, man.
Yeah. People are frustrated.
The vibe is different than it was last year, right? Last year, players told us he's not going anywhere. Like, they just didn't buy it. This year, and I don't know if that's because of the losing. I don't know if it's because they're tired of going through this every year. But this year, the vibe is different. This year, you have players who think he's going to leave. This year, you have players who told us they didn't buy what he was selling in that team meeting after the press conference today. You have parents who think this is total BS, for sure, right? I mean, we have, what, James Blackman's godfather saying how this is unfair to the kids. Quote, here's from another parent who I was texting earlier. I really don't think the players care at this point. They just want to know, is he going to be their coach or not? I just think it's so unfair to the players and fans. I'm sick of it. I know it's just business, but come on, man. Every year?
Bud, was that a text from a family member or a really prominent wealthy booster or just your casual sidewalk fan? Because I think that could apply to just about every aspect of people that are emotionally invested in this program. That same sentiment could have come from somebody that provides a lot of the shiny toys that Jimbo Fisher loves from a booster perspective, just your casual fan that goes through this every year, the parent of a player himself. What that person just said to you is sentiment that's felt basically throughout everybody tied to the program.
They want to know, right? And I think they want to know, if Jimbo's not going to be the coach, who's going to be the coach? And that's a lot of fans. That's a lot of other people out there as well. But yeah, Blackman's godfather was not real happy. And I saw the Democrat spoke with Marvin Wilson's mother, and she talked about how she fully supports Fisher in his effort to get better facilities. And look, Fisher, to his credit here, if he's not seeking raises or a raise for him, like, everything that he wants does seem to benefit the players. Now, I don't know if this annual song and dance actually benefits the players, but his motives seem okay. Sometimes, you know, things with good motives don't necessarily have the greatest impact. But yeah, and there are fans who are not happy. There are players who are not happy. There are parents who are not happy. There are staff members who are pretty annoyed. There are also some power players who are just over it. Mm-hmm. And like, we try not to be one of these podcasts like, you know, these boosters are mad, that type of stuff. Because, like, even these Golden Chiefs, they don't really matter in the sake of things. Florida State is a very top-heavy booster structure, you know?
Maybe as top-heavy as any large major program there is.
I mean, Jimbo Fisher doesn't golf much, right? There's a couple guys he hunts with, mm-hmm. from my understanding. Most coaches have to golf, you know? And hobnob with a lot of boosters. Like, if you go to a place like Alabama or Texas A&M, perhaps, you know, how many vice presidents of oil companies do you think you're going to have to act like you really care about at Texas A&M? Right. Probably a lot more, because Florida State's got a couple whales, and after that, it's a pretty big drop off.
They've got a couple whales, but they're not even the. And this is I guess we can jump into this, but that's. It's not a whole lot of hands-on demands, I mean, from the people.
No.
They're not demanding, like, you better return my call immediately. I mean, so many of these, whether it be, you know, Georgia with somebody's granddad who decided to buy 25,000 shares of Coca-Cola 85 years ago, or somebody's grandfather who bought 1,000 acres of the West Texas desert however many generations ago. You just have all these people of great influence that you have to kind of pay attention to. You really don't have that at Florida State. You really don't have a massive amount of people that you have to hold their hand. You have to respond to them. You have to feel like they, you know, make them feel like they matter.
Exactly. There's no doubt about it. Let's talk a little bit here about the choices Fisher's going to have, okay? Because I got to tell you, one thing that I've been doing a lot is talking to other college coaches, because in my capacity as national recruiting director, I'm trying to figure out how are teams going to handle National Signing Day, the new early signing period. And I'm not going to give details away about that because I have an article coming out. But you know, I've probably chatted up 15, 20 coaches in the last couple of weeks. And a lot of them know I'm a Florida State guy. And they ask me, they're like, what in the hell is Jimbo Fisher thinking?
Mm-mm.
Right? Yeah. And they use words that are inappropriate now to use. But I had one guy tell me, though, hey, if he's talked himself into thinking that Florida State's a bad job, I guess he could certainly convince himself to leave. You know, and I don't know if Jimbo has done that, but I will tell you that the coaches I talk to think that leaving would not be real bright.
Mm-hmm.
Almost universally.
Yeah.
And that's even though they acknowledge, look, A&M's a sleeping giant, A&M will give you a blank check, and A&M, you can probably replicate what Nick Saban does as far as just the crazy amount of support staff and that kind of stuff, if you really want to.
You can recreate the scale of it. That is one place that'll give you the resources to do it.
You can't do that at Florida State, all right? If you think that's what you need, and this is where we can get a discussion, man, because look, Jimbo might think that. I think it's certainly very much apparent that Fisher is a resource hog, right? He demands more resources, more buildings, more funds, more resources. And that's great to a certain extent. It's not great if you blame your failures on that and it causes you to be blind to other issues within your program, which I think mm-hmm. exists. And I think to a certain extent is happening here, right? Like somebody should have told Jimbo, don't say a damn thing publicly about facilities this year. You're 5-6. Shut up. But that's not who he is. That's not what he does. There's so many really good things about this Florida State job. The things that these other coaches tell me, you get SEC players. And that's a term they use. I know Florida State fans don't like that because, hey, a lot of times the ACC guys are just good, whatever. The SEC does out-recruit the ACC by a wide margin. So let's go with me here.
People they know say, what the sentiment is behind that comment.
Right. We're not talking about Vanderbilt-level players. We're talking about high-level, you know, Southeastern-type players. So you get SEC kids on an ACC schedule. And what they mean is there is nobody on your schedule at Florida State who out-recruits you on an annual basis. Maybe Clemson hangs with you for a year or two at a time. Not usually. Maybe Florida does. Miami, not really much over the last two decades. Other than that, you have a massive talent advantage over everybody else. So you have a couple toss-up-ish games and a bunch of games that should be slam dunks if you do a good job coaching. More often than not. That is a recipe for really good success, for building something special, and for longevity, if you want it. If it was Bobby Bowden's recipe, it could easily be Jimbo Fisher's recipe. Okay? The recruiting territory here is really big. You're in Florida. You can also reach into Alabama and Georgia some, assuming you make the right coaching hires and the right coaching fires, which, hey, that's been an issue recently. But if you're Fisher, do you value that? Or are you a guy that is so focused on resources that maybe you think you value those things over the things that Florida State can give you? Because if you don't like what Florida State's giving you, I guarantee you there are a bunch of elite coaches who do and who would do a really good job. Like if Jimbo's proven anything, it's that a good coach can come in here and win a boatload of games. It wasn't just all Bobby.
I think coaches maybe get to a point where they think that all the things that surround a program kind of takes care of recruiting for you. And obviously, look, Texas A&M is located close to Houston, which is probably one of the three or four best areas in all the country to recruit. You get access into East Texas, into Louisiana. It's a great spot for recruiting. But I wonder if in some minds, recruiting has almost been, or at least the access to players in the traditional pool from which you have first choice of, has almost been devalued to an extent.
I think that's very true, man. You can't lose sight that recruiting is about relationships. You know, You can have all the facilities you want. You can have all the infrastructure you want, but you still need to have dynamic personalities and relationships. You need to have a good product to sell on the field, and you need to have good facilities. This facilities conversation, by the way, was more relevant 5 years ago when Florida State did not have an IPF, did not have nice player dorms, didn't have a player's lounge, didn't have upgraded locker rooms, didn't have upgraded football, you know, offices. And I do agree they need the football and facility. I think they'll get it. That's what I've been told. But this seems almost like a red herring to me. You know, it's just the latest thing that Fisher wants to complain about.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like he's real happy here based on how much complaining he does about the job.
No, I mean, it doesn't seem it would almost appear to be it would be worthwhile for Jimbo Fisher to somehow revert back and have a little bit of a blank slate as to see some of the strengths and what you get at this program that you don't get other places. And the grass isn't always greener, both with access to kids. And we already mentioned it some, but there's a lot that Florida State provides to you and does not expect of you, which flat out isn't the case at other schools. And you don't have to deal with this ridiculous booster dance. You just have a more, ironically enough, a much more cleared table to focus on the things that matter and to build your program. So for a guy who values that as much as he does, of all the things that he may miss in Tallahassee, I think he would realize within the first 6 weeks that there are some really great strengths of this job that he might not necessarily put as much value on right now.
You're exactly right. There are so many coaches who would love to take this job because of where it's located, because of the history of it, because of your ability to win games here. And honestly, I think you should be pretty encouraged by what the administration has done over the last 5 years. Now, they've made a lot of improvements. They don't maybe make up at the speed Jimbo wants, but hey, that's something he has to decide, right? What's most important to me? Access to recruits, facilities to impress recruits, you know, a booster structure that I can work with, a booster structure that I don't like. Is it the structure of the boosters? Is it who the boosters are, who I have to interact with? Do I want to see if I can actually beat Saban at his own game with unlimited resources and be able to hire a bunch of consultants? And when a guy gets fired in the NFL, I bring him on, you know, for $90,000 as a you know, film analyst or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what he wants, then the decision, I mean, football wise, is pretty clear. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of other coaches who value other things that Florida State does offer, and that's probably why Florida State has been one of the most successful programs in the nation over the last 30 years because of those things. It's not because of money.
It's also access to play the game at the highest level. And I mean, you know, you mentioned it in recruiting with the roster that you have and the teams you have to go against. All those teams in the SEC are going to have resources to be very, very competitive. You may be able to hire two or three more people to do this, or two or three more people to look at this much film, or two or three more people to head up certain aspects of what you want to do in recruiting. But almost everybody you're going to be going against has the ability to kind of build up that shadow staff as well. It just becomes a real point of diminishing returns with a lot of this stuff that I think we end up talking about.
Here's one more thing, by the way, and this was floated to me, and it's something that I've been thinking about a lot. If Jimbo goes, he doesn't have to fire his friends. And I do believe that if Jimbo stays, he's going to do that because he knows he has to do that. In fact, I believe that's going to communicate it to him. Hey, this current combination of coaching staff is not tenable going forward. You cannot bring this group back. Well, I don't think he wants to fire them. I think he knows he has to fire them, and that's different. But you know what? If he takes another job, he doesn't have to fire them. In fact, he could tell himself a lie that, hey, I'm doing this because I need different coaches. I need more guys with Texas connections. And right. There would be some truth in that. But it also just be a way out of having to actually fire your friends, which I get. He's extremely loyal to his assistant coaches, and he values loyalty, as we've said on this program several times, probably a little bit too much. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But that's something. Actually, David Pollack of ESPN picked up on that today as well and floated that out there. And blind squirrels find an acorn every now and then. Couple things here that I picked up on the thing. The Ole Miss rival site reported that Willie Taggart actually turned down a massive offer from Ole Miss. So interesting there. you know, Ingram, Ole Miss dumps a lot of money in facilities, man. They have made a lot of improvements. They have great facilities, and they are really committed to spending money. But you know what they don't have? The state of Florida to recruit in.
Right. Or just not a whole lot of tradition or having to play in the SEC West. There's a lot of places can say that they want to do all that they can to play football at the highest level. And there's only so many programs that can really say that and have full confidence in that they're being truthful. And Florida State happens to be one of them.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, Tennessee is a just complete disaster right now. I mean, just absolutely. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Greg Schiano is going to be a great candidate for them. I do wonder, and this has been voiced by several columnists, how much Tennessee fans were suddenly very concerned about the Jerry Sandusky case and how many of them used that as something to latch on to when they realized they were hiring Greg Schiano and they weren't happy about it because of his track record. But I do know that Tennessee is going to either have to massively overpay for whatever candidate they do end up getting. Unless they just reach so far in the bottom of the barrel and get somebody with just no qualifications to do that job. Because right now, that you want to talk about toxic? That's toxic over there. Like, if you're a coach, you already know those fans have totally unrealistic expectations as to what they want you to do when loss record-wise. But now, they're going to kind of hate you from the start because you're not John Gruden.
Exactly. Which is one of the reasons why this annual Gruden's or biannual Gruden is just hilarious to watch what happens with that guy and that fan base. I mean, it is I'm continually impressed by how much certain fan bases convince themselves that they're going to employ John Gruden and then only setting themselves up for failure. Although I'm not really sure that would be a home run hire per se in and of itself, but that's another talk for another time.
So I do kind of think that Gruden should have done Tennessee a solid and just said, hey, like put a statement like, I have no interest in coaching college football. I make, you know, more money than any college football coach in the country, and I only work 3 days a week. So,
and the fact that my wife was a cheerleader somewhere does not mean that I'm
40
going
years
to be
ago.
The head coach of the program. Thanks, guys. And yeah, like, I realize all of your Payside owners now hate me, but nonetheless, that's just the way this is going to play out.
I wish I ran a Tennessee Payside. Oh my God,
between recruiting and Gruden, oh my lord!
Just make up lies.
Oh my lord! Yep,
just fantastical lies that and I feel like that's the only game in town. And does these Tennessee fans just believe it? It's like Mario Pender is very close to flipping to Tennessee, yeah. And so is James Wilder Jr. And Jameis and whoever. There are certain stories you can get away with telling. I think if they have like they're somewhat based in truth, but the Tennessee market, they just make up garbage nonstop. Like, it is just flat out lies, just total BS. And so people will come ask me, hey, have you seen this? I'm like, is it a Tennessee thing? Yeah. Like, no, because it's probably just not based in reality.
Good times. At least this place won't be confused for Tennessee anytime soon. So.
Speaking of complaining about resources. Did you see who is very high on Mississippi State's list per a couple of reports tonight?
Ooh, that would be great. Personally, I hope they hire another defense coordinator, maybe a guy who's previously coached at Oklahoma and oversees a defense in South Carolina. But
yes, I think Brent Venables would be great.
I think that'd be a great hire. Great hire, yeah. One Jeremy Pruitt coaching in Starkville. I don't watch any reality TV at all, but I would consume whatever the closest thing was to it that followed that experiment around.
Okay, so a little background here. Pruitt complained a lot about resources at Florida State,
compared
to Alabama, right?
And Georgia immediately.
Right, that was the thing.
Immediately it was like, after being hired.
So Georgia and Florida State are not good enough for you, and now you're going to go to Starkville. How do you think that might work out? Because I have reservations, Ingram, that a guy who complains about resources and level of support at Tallahassee and Athens is going to find like a massive amount of resources in Starkville.
I'd love to see it. I'd really love to see it. And no, he's not going to find that. And I don't care how much TV money you tell me that the SEC brings in and then distributes to their member institutions, you're not going to win a resource war located in Starkville, Mississippi.
I don't know how we can end this thing any better. Oh, predictions. Do you think he's going?
Yes, I do.
I'm a little bit less confident than you are, just because I don't know about the family situation.
Well, I think he wants. I think he wants to make a move.
Yes, yeah, I think he definitely wants to.
I think you bring up a good point there. There could be some things that block him, but yeah, I think this is different. I said after we recorded a show, 2 weeks ago or so, I thought he was more likely than not moving, and I haven't really come off of that.
I mean, I'm kind of flipping coins at this point. I don't know anybody over there who's super confident that he's going or staying. But I do know that a lot more people this year think he's going than did last year.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll say going, but I'm not super confident on that.
We'll see, man. We'll see. I do think, and we say this almost seemingly every year, but I do think this is the last year that any school, if he doesn't move, is going to go into this. Like, we've got a handshake agreement. Our high money boosters are on board, because however that whole informational trail gets out. But I can't see any institution after this thinking that they want to go through this process again with Jimbo Fisher.
All right. Well, very quickly, what job could possibly do it? I mean, he's running out of jobs to do this with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he might have to double back the jobs he's already done it with. So LSU is not going to fire Ed Orgeron after 2 years. So it's not going to be LSU next year. Okay. So that's out. A&M is going to be in the market this year for a coach, not next year. Auburn's going to give Gus Malzahn an extension, so that's a no.
Arkansas is going to have a one-year guy.
You think so?
They got to hire somebody at this point, so they're not.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So they're going to have a guy in his first year. Georgia has Kirby Smart. Florida just got Mullen, which, by the way, was the hire I said they should make on Twitter. So, woo, got one right. Even if it was their third choice. Just because it was their third choice doesn't mean it was the bad choice. Like, Florida could have easily just made mistakes with their first two choices, which I think they probably did. Tennessee, I assume, is going to get somebody, like, it'll be in a second year. Like, half the SEC is going to have a second-year coach next year.
Mm-hmm.
Jimbo Fisher is absolutely not a fit outside of the Southeast, or maybe like a place like Texas, which is also not going to be open. So, like, I can't possibly imagine what job it would be.
West Virginia.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. If he comes into John Thrasher's office with West Virginia
good luck,
nonsense.
Good luck leveraging West Virginia. But yeah, I could.
If you're Thrasher, you just be like, well, mama called.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Right? I just like, peace. Mama okay, called. Bro.
There's nothing we could do about it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do think you're right. This is the last possible time to do this for at least a year. Now, if you tell me come, you know, post-2019 season, maybe, but. Yeah, that's
we'll see, man. When I mentioned in the Instant Reaction podcast that this would be a fun week leading up to the Louisiana Monroe game, I didn't necessarily mean the analysis that we would provide for the game, but you know, I have a feeling we'll be doing another one of these within 48, 72 hours.
By the way, 27 points on that line is too many. Take Louisiana Monroe. They can actually legitimately score a lot of points. They put up 50 plus last week. And I know Florida State's defense is real good, but I can't imagine the focus over there is real great this week.